Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK on this Wednesday morning, 7:37. We're glad you're joining us today. We're going to have a good, honest conversation right now with our good friends John and Kendra Smiley. They are parenting experts. Kendra was the mother of the year in Illinois. And more than once, I was going to say, yeah, I think so. And she and John join us regularly here on Faith Radio to help us with our parenting. And this is a topic we haven't really talked too much about. It's the empty nesters, then suddenly not empty nesters, dealing with your adult children.
Good morning, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Okay, I love the first question on the blog. When does adulthood begin? I'm still asking myself that sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, so. I have a theory that every household should have one adult, two might be overkill.
Yeah, my husband sometimes is called my oldest child, so, and I'm probably his bratty wife some days too. So yeah, tell us a little bit about what you guys define as maybe adulthood with when it comes to our kids.
Well, it's really interesting because it has changed so much. You know, if you go back into biblical times, it was, 13 or 12, yeah, when young men and young women became adults. And then you go back, maybe when we were in high school, and definitely when you were 18, you became an adult. And now, wow, you know, when are you an adult? Are you an adult if you're still on your parents' insurance? Are you an adult if, you know, after college you've come back home, as you guys referred to? Mm-hmm. It has definitely changed a great deal just in the last 10 to 15 years.
And the perspective of, let's say, early 20-somethings themselves, that has changed as well, hasn't it?
Oh, it absolutely has. We have a very good friend who runs an organization and hires a lot of young folks that have just graduated from college. And he said, it's so interesting what they, you know, first of all, which corner office is mine, which is, you know, kind of an interesting thing. That would seem that perhaps they feel they're adults, but then they're more interested in social media than maybe getting the job done. So it's changed a lot.
And I think that, you know, it used to be like you're saying, as soon as you were 18 or you went off to college, that used to be the natural leaving the nest thing. And like when I left, I never, ever even thought about going back home again. It's like, okay, it's up to me to be able to figure out how I'm going to get a job and how I pay my bills and how I start standing on my own two feet. And yet it's like you're saying, it's all changed. And that can be really frustrating for parents at times, too.
Right. You know, a lot of it maybe, and this just absolutely just popped into my head, which is always frightening, but the military, you know, in years past, you became 18, and that was something that was a very real possibility in your life, and you definitely needed to be a grown-up if that was the next step you were going to take out the door into the military.
Right, and I think not only a lot is it frustrating for parents, like, you know, when is my kid going to be an adult? Oh, my gosh, they're 26 and still acting like a kid. But I think it's frustrating for young adults. I think that when somebody reaches the age of 18, they're certainly capable of being an adult and making those kind of decisions, and all of a sudden they're pushed in by society. I think society today is pushing kids to not become adults with the health care plan, with a lot of things, with jobs. It's very difficult now for young people a lot of times to get jobs, and so there's pressure there to move back in with mom and dad because they can't find a job. And so I think that's frustrating for them, because at 18, they are more than capable of getting out there and being an adult and fending for themselves.
They are more than capable as long as they've sort of been experiencing adulthood little by little by little by little. And I think that's where we fall down many times as parents.
And I think our culture, you know, we see so many areas where, you know, the culture is just pushing kids to become adults younger and younger, and they're exposed to things that are way too advanced maybe for their young ages and that sort of thing. They talk about puberty hitting girls now at even younger and younger ages because of the sexual part of our culture, too. And yet, I don't know if the brain is necessarily ready to adapt to that change.
Right. I think we're really giving them mixed messages.
Yeah.
On one hand, you know, grow up, grow up, grow up. On the other hand, oh, honey, you don't need to grow up yet. Or the world says you don't need to grow up yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking again with John and Kendra Smiley here on Faith Radio Mornings, parenting experts and authors of several books we have linked up at myfaithradio.com. Say a word about helicopter parenting, if you would. John, this has been shown to be counterproductive, but parents are still hovering over their kids, trying to control them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they definitely are, and I think this is one of those areas that pushes kids to stay young, that to not make decisions. And Kendra and I look at this, and one of the things that parents can do, and that is from the time that kids are young, they should have a goal in mind. And that goal, let's say that goal is that by the time their child is 18, they want them to be making adult decisions, that they're ready to take care of themselves. And so what we do is we start giving them decision-making, age-appropriate responsibilities when they're younger. And then as we go through their teen years, early years, and so on, we are continually giving them age-appropriate responsibilities. So by the time they get to be 17, 18, they are making good decisions. And what helicopter parenting does, basically, helicopter parenting keeps them young. Mom and dad are the ones protecting them. Mom and dad are the ones making decisions for them. And then by the time they get to be 17, 18, graduate from high school, mom and dad have been protecting them all along. And, oh, my goodness, there's a decision to be made. And even though they are capable, they're not ready yet because mom and dad have been helicopter parenting. And we don't feel that that's good. We think that age-appropriate responsibility, having kids, if there's a consequence for an action that they made, that they should have to live that consequence. And so it's a whole area of parenting all the way from the time they're 18 months old up to the time that they become 18, 19, 20.
It's really interesting. We have our spy in college. Actually, we have not a child that we were privileged to be the parents of originally. We call her our bonus blessing. But it's interesting because it brings that whole era back into our lives. And she is acquainted with a young woman who is from out of state, and she's there on the college campus. And her mother flew in from out of state shortly after the second semester began and stayed with this young girl for about 10 days so that the young girl would wake up for class. And then,
really?
Yeah, and then mom flew home and flew back about 5 to 10 days later and stayed 2 weeks. And I remember chatting, I remember thinking, oh, wow, this is craziness. And then chatting with our bonus blessing and saying, this girl obviously hasn't been allowed to make decisions all the way along. She's not ready to be, several states away and at a big university because she hasn't been given age-appropriate responsibility. But now is the time to start. And I guess she's not quite ready for get up for class.
And right. mom isn't ready for her to be at school, right?
Yeah, it's sad all the way around. It really is. This is not an adult. This is still an adolescent in mom's mind.
And this is exactly what mom was doing. Mom was helping her get up in the morning and get to class. And this woman obviously is at the university. And mom was going in and staying in her room, making sure that, she was studying and so on and so forth. And it just, it's frightening to think about if one mom that we know personally about is doing that, think how many other moms out there that are trying to do that with kids that are, should be making their own decisions.
Could be.
And that's frightening.
Even something as simple as, the college kid calls home and says, I need $50. I mean, is that enabling then at that point, or is that okay at any point?
Oh, anything? Let's see. $50. Did I send 50, John?
My question is, why do you need the $50?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
That and if it was legitimate.
If you got a parking ticket and you can't pay it, sure, you can have $50. You'll have to figure out how we're going to take care of that when you get home. But it's not a blanket thing, but letting the kids, it's really interesting. I remember years ago, not too long ago, when they said 50 is the new 30, and I happen to be about 50, and I'm thinking, awesome, I'm doing the subtraction. But now I think the question is, is 20 the new 12?
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to look at that because most parents really don't want to continue parenting way, way, way into the older years of their kids.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think one of the other problems that we find is that when kids do move back in with their parents, it might be kind of easy for them. And then the whole idea of, you know, the parents moving the kids out of their home because they're getting a roof over their head, they're getting food on the table, and a lot of times there's not a whole lot of responsibility because mom and dad are taking care of everything. And so then, oh my goodness, how are we going to get the kids out of the house? So this turns into a lot of different not good things.
Right, and we're fighting a lot of things as parents. You know, if people are living longer. You can't do anything about that.
Right.
You know, that's just the truth. And because of that, I think it makes us want to stay. You know, I truly, when my mom was this age, I thought she was unbelievably old. I don't think my kids think unbelievably old. You know, I mean, it has just changed. Can't do anything about that. But we can, as parents, you know, help our kids develop the mindset of emerging adults, even when they are, by definition, adolescents.
Let's talk a little bit, too, about the mental health issues in a moment, too, that can result from not letting our kids kind of grow up and be that adult. We're talking with John and Kendra Smiley today, talking about, is your child an adolescent or an adult? And it doesn't always have to do with the number age that they are. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
There's an oldie but a goodie, huh? A
little ready
FFH.
To fly.
Yeah, well, a lot of kids are. They think they are ready to fly until maybe they run out of money or until they find themselves needing a place to stay. Then it's back to mom and dad. We're talking today about adolescence versus adulthood and young adulthood and what that looks like in this modern day. John and Kendra Smiley joining us, parenting experts. So now there is increased difficulty with becoming financially independent for young people, too. Our heart goes out to them. Jobs are harder to find. What can we do to help shepherd them as parents, guys?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is that any job might be better than no job at all. A lot of times, I'm holding out for management.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember taking a teaching job that was far from what I really wanted to do, but it was a job. And maybe the job isn't even that glamorous. It's a weekly paycheck. Maybe it's a weekly paycheck based on the hours that you're working. But that's okay. You know, you never know what kind of connections and different things God can use. And so I think that we need to maybe set our sights not on the world's most perfect job, but a way to bring in some income. That's one thing that can help.
And I hear a lot of, I have kids who are in their 20s, and I hear a lot of their friends and the conversations between them and that sort of thing where they're like, I can't work for a job that's less than $20 an hour. I'm holding out
Seriously.
For that job. Like
yeah.
you said, you know, they're expecting to go right to a management level or to that corner office without kind of paying the dues and having to have that story to tell their kids someday.
You know, and it goes on beyond that. Young marrieds that, John and I have two televisions in our home. And, oh my goodness, of course you have to have two televisions in your home. No, you really don't. And you really don't need, like, some of the networks, some of the cable. You really don't need those. But they never saw their parents in that stage. And so a lot of times they kind of have a false idea to reach that stage, not only in their work, but in their living conditions.
Right. And I think a lot of that, or some of it, has to do with parenting as well, and that parents might have lavished a lot of things on their kids, and then when they get to the point of making their own living, they expect to have all those things. So a lot of times it's, you know, parents, I know I saw, I can't think of the guy's name. Anyway, he was a professional football player, and he's now on with, I believe it's Kelly in the Morning. Anyway,
Michael Strahan. Yeah.
Strahan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go.
We're
Michael Strahan.
Now.
And he was talking about it, and he wanted to really a bicycle, and his dad said, and it was expensive, and he knew it was expensive, and he said, and his dad said, you earn half of it, and I'll pay the other half of it. And he said he just mowed all kind of yards to get that bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times those things aren't happening today with parents just going out and not saying, you know, you work for part of it and then I'll help you. They're saying, oh, I'll just go out and buy it for you. And so they get into adulthood and they expect to have those things. And then again, that's not good.
Oh, and I should make a correction. John bringing up that example reminded me, we actually have three televisions. sorry about that. I don't want to lie. Anyway, especially on the air. But, you know, the whole idea of kids learning, being allowed to fail.
Yeah.
That's such an excellent thing, and it's so painful. Yeah, just this last week, we were down visiting our oldest son and his four kids and wife, and his older daughter she loves to write. She's going to follow in Grandma KK's footsteps and write a book. And so she had a list, and it was about her friends, and it was three columns, and it said best, good, and bad. And I looked at it and I said, well, tell me what that means. Oh, my best friends. Well, tell me about this little girl, you know. And what is bad? Oh, they're people that aren't nice. And I know this is going to sound wacky, but I thought, what? There are people who are not nice to my granddaughter. I mean, I thought
you wanted names. You wanted names right then.
Yeah, exactly. Where
names
is this?
And numbers,
where
baby.
Is this little girl?
You know, one other thing. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, but it's so important to realize, yeah, there are, you know, there's disappointments. There's friends that aren't bad friends, if that's kind of an oxymoron, but allowing that to be the truth and dealing with the truth.
Yeah, I was going to say, growing up in this connected world, too, you know, obviously they can see that in the categories of friends that way. But when things aren't maybe going the best or young people are trying to get on their feet, it can be depressing to see their friends via social media or whatever. They seem to have it all together. Why am I stuck? And depression can set in. What can we do as parents if we sense our child might be going into that depression?
Well, I think we have to be very much aware of it. And again, we go back to a college idea. That's a lot of times where maybe the first time we ever see our child seriously depressed. And there are some sad statistics about that. The American College of Counseling reported 16% increase in mental health visits since 2000. So those sorts of things, and the suicide rate for young adults, that's also on the rise. So we have to be sensitive. It's just not, oh, buck up. You know, that is not necessarily the right response. We have to pay attention to what our kids are feeling and how they're acting out.
Yes, and I think that's when it gets to the point we definitely have to be conscious of that. But I think, again, as parents, we can help ward off that by giving them appropriate responsibilities so they don't get to that point and don't understand or can't figure out what's going on because they've been helicoptered and get depressed. So let's be proactive with this thing.
Yes.
Let's not wait until it happens and then think, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the young lady that Kendra was talking about before, that was one of the things that she was going through, depression. She went to the university hospital, and her roommate was concerned that she was going to commit suicide. So it's important.
You know, I think that this is maybe a message for moms of preschoolers and toddlers,
mm-hmm.
because there's no time to start like the present to exactly what John has said, to give your kids age-appropriate responsibility.
And in a culture that immediate gratification is what it's all about, this is kind of going back to old school and helping them know, like you said in your blog, that they have to learn to handle the frustrations of life. And the earlier that we start on that, the better that they will be as adults, too. So thanks, you guys, for just putting this into words today, because we know a lot of people are going through this with boomerang kids and whatever the case might be, maybe raising their kids. So thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. When you get home to those 20-somethings, tell them, all right, adults, on guard, out there, go get them.
That's right.
And remember that sometimes old school is good.
That's right.
That's right. My daughter is now my cleaning lady, which is actually working out quite well.
There you go. That's
Does
a good
she
point.
Take outside jobs?
I'll let her know. I'm sure she's a great cleaning lady. You would love her.
I'm sure I would.
You guys have a great day.
All right,
you
too.
Take care, John and Kendra Smiley again.